2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network. Hey, tonight, the Salt Lake Shred firing up as one of Utah's new professional ultimate frisbee teams right here in the U.S. This is this league is gaining traction, and their home openers here. They're 2-0 on the season already. And so tonight at Zions Bank Stadium in Harriman, you can see our very own professional Salt Lake Shred Ultimate Frisbee team. So go check it out. $15 at the gate or saltlakeshred.com. That's saltlakeshred.com. Scott, the NFL Roundup looks like this. We roll out some NFL stories. I was going to give you some of these win totals before we get into our some of these stories that we've been looking at. You tell me just a quick over under if these things are going to be happening, okay? The Bills over under for this year is 11.5.
Over.
Jets 5.5.
Over.
Where is it though? Where do you think? What do you think? How many?
It's over
how many
5.5.
But I mean, how many games do you think the Jets?
7-9.
Wow, that'd be nice. Cowboys 10.5.
That's a tough one.
I'd take the under.
Almost feels that way.
I'm never bullish on the Cowboys.
I'll go under.
I'm bullish on Dak Prescott, and that's like about it.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Okay. Packers.
Under.
11 wins.
Under.
You're going under.
Yep.
You didn't even care what number. If I'd have said six, you'd have gone, yeah, they'll be under.
I think the Packers are kind of.
They're falling off.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers just doesn't seem mad anymore.
Well, here's the. He's always mad.
Hasn't said anything this offseason. He's like boring. It's like, is he even around? Something wrong with him?
We need some drama.
I know.
The Rams, your former Super Bowl champions, are 10.5 wins.
Over.
Be tough. Like, how are the Packers projected to win more games than the dadgum Rams?
Probably the division they play.
Well, but the Rams are actually, I think their division got weaker because Russell Wilson moved out of it.
Right.
And the 49ers, no, but that's what I'm saying is the Rams are projected to win fewer
Rams
games.
Rams are tougher division.
Oh, wow.
Seahawks, the Cardinals.
See, you said Seahawks, but you're trying to fool with me.
49ers,
now.
Sorry. 49ers.
All right.
Cardinals.
Did you say the Seahawks are going to do well this year? Is that what
no.
you said? Oh, okay. Chiefs, 10.5 wins.
Oh, man, they've changed some things. I'll say over.
Okay.
They may have freshened
up. That's 17 games. I mean, you want to go 11-6, that's actually like.
Yeah. I know.
Raiders, 8.5.
I'll say over.
I will, too. I'm actually going to take the over on that one, too. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually tied with the Bills for the most projected wins on the season, 11.5.
I'm going to say under.
Oh. Oh, because you think Tom Brady's not going to be around the full season.
I'm going to say under.
And then the Broncos, this is a wild one.
This is a tough one. It's a tough division.
Double-digit wins, 10 wins is their projected over-under. I'm going under.
I'll go over.
I'm going to go under because Russell Wilson, his best years were in Seattle. Yeah.
Ooh.
I got to say it.
Left it all in Seattle.
Thank you so much.
I left my heart
appreciate
in Seattle.
Appreciate it. RG3, Robert Griffin III.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing because he says the Jets need to win 10 games this year. Well, I don't know why they would, quote, need to win 10 games. In my mind, I mean, they haven't done anything. They haven't had a winning season since 2015, okay? And they haven't made the playoffs in more than a decade. But RG3 says that this is a now or never time for the Jets. Do you look at it like it's a now or never situation for the Jets? I think you've kind of set it up that it's a now or never situation for Zach Wilson.
I think you have to have significant improvement. Like what you have to have is, you know what, we really made big strides with what we've done building this team. But if there's still holes in the team, mm-hmm. where there still needs to be improvement at some position or another, then I don't think 7 wins is
insane.
Is a bad year for the Jets right now. I mean, this is a team that's
been
for a long time.
If they win 10 games, if they go 10-7, I mean, they're likely they could be a wild card team.
I think 10-7 is dangerous for actually the Jets. Too fast, too quick. This team needs to.
Why would that be dangerous? You can build off of a 10-7 season. I mean, like everybody says you're going to be. Setting the expectations too high after you have a 10-7 season.
That's what happened with Baker Mayfield. That it wasn't a realistic expectation. Then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, you got to be in the playoffs and you got to go deep in the playoffs. And I think the Jets just need some more seasoning.
Some more seasoning.
I do. Yeah.
Are you talking about like a rub? Just,
well, yeah.
Or are you talking about like your cast iron skillet, that kind of seasoning?
They need to be more battle tested so that they can actually go somewhere in the playoffs. I'll tell you another person that, like Justin Herbert, could be a victim of that, where it was a real big bump that first year and he kind of improved. But if he falls off even a little bit,
people are going to go, maybe he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's the concern.
Okay, so – the next one up here, Malik Willis. You remember that whole thing with Ryan Tannehill? When he first got drafted and Ryan Tannehill controversially said,
right,
I'm not here to mentor this kid. And everybody freaked out about it. The reality was, we know he's not there to mentor that kid. You get mentored because you're around a guy like Ryan Tannehill, I think. And I know everybody looks at that like Ryan Tannehill's nervous about his job. Well, of course he is.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
If I'm Malik Willis, why the heck do I want to be mentored by Ryan Tannehill? I mean, really, it's like, I don't care that you mentor me. I mean, because what it's like, I don't want to learn average things. I don't want to be a placeholder. I don't.
Wow.
And so, you know, I was right, but it's true. Like, what's Ryan Tannehill done?
Hmm.
And so, you know, I'm not, you know.
You're not nearly as high on the situation with you know what? That's actually – I love that. You're like, hey, Malik Willis should have actually said it too. I don't actually want to be mentored by Ryan Tannehill.
No.
What's he done?
I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, because then that just throws gasoline on a fire.
Right, but then you'd be thinking –
But just in the background, I mean, just play it casual. You know, it's like, hey, I get it, you know. You know, I'm just excited to be here and learn from whatever I can from Ryan. I don't care. But I don't want to learn how to hand off the football. Okay, big deal. Teach me how to read a defense. You know, teach me.
Cool, man.
Give me the pace of the game.
Cool.
You know,
can you teach me how to hand the ball off a little bit harder?
Wow. Man, that was some insight right there.
Oh man, you handed that ball off so hard.
I don't want to learn that from a guy.
Like the technique you had when you handed that ball off, amazing.
And just so you know, the worst ball hander offer guy ever was Dan Marino. He's terrible at it.
How can you be terrible at it? Be one of the best quarterbacks ever.
Watch him.
What do you mean? Like what? Like he suddenly was like, "What do I do? I don't know what to do when I hand this ball off."
He did everything you're not supposed to do.
Give me a quick 101 on handing the ball off.
Just so you know, handing off the football and the play action fake after it, so overrated.
Play action is the whole thing the league has been ever built on.
Nobody's watching you.
I love when you watch a quarterback in college and they'll do the thing where they hand the ball off and then they go and they do they do their own play after that.
Yeah.
And you go, where are you going?
Yeah. It's like,
what are you doing?
There is only one time it matters, and it's when you do a bootleg. It's the only time that it matters. Beyond that, it does not matter.
Oh.
Because the linebackers, the defensive
they
linemen,
act like they're like
reading the offensive line.
They act like you're going to go.
They're not sitting in the backfield going, hey, what's the quarterback?
We got two guys spying to see if the quarterback's going to really roll out this
really,
time.
Is he really handing the ball
off? If it's
this
time, he's going to roll out.
No. So dumb. And it all happens so fast.
I love this.
But so Dan Marino handed off the ball, and then he turned and watched the running back. He's like, what are you doing? Because it's like, because no, your keys, like any good defensive coach is not like, because you, like the worst cardinal sin, don't have your eyes in the backfield.
Right. You got to watch that. If you're a linebacker, you're going to be
Reading offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Does he pass set? Does he down block?
Is this guy pulling?
Is he pulling?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And it's like, don't ever. And so it just was whatever.
I'm gonna write a DM to Dan Marino. Say Scott Mitchell said you handed the ball off so terribly.
There were games Dan Marino goes, we're not running the ball again until we're leading this game. I'm gonna throw it until we're leading this game.
What was the most attempts you had in one game in the NFL?
I don't know.
In college, you were like 60 a game.
So. I think there was a 65 in college once.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say in the pros. I was like, that's insane. No, but like 45. I've seen you have a 45 to 48.
I think I've had over 50.
Before. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
All right, there you go. There's your NFL roundup. We're going to take a break here. By the way, your Detroit Lions, Scott, when the schedule got released, they're the only team that don't have a primetime game.
Of course. You know what? When we were there, we had at least
three. Oh, here they go.
Yeah, baby. March on down the field.
Get out of here. You never – I just picture you in the locker room getting pumped listening to this before you guys go out.
I would hear this during the game and I'd go, what is this?
What is this?
And then I was like, oh, it's the fight song.
It's our own fight song as a pro team.
Yeah, it got me fired.
The only team that you've ever even known to have a band is Washington.
Let me tell you the worst thing about Detroit. Okay, the worst thing. The
worst thing.
Is the lion would roar.
Yeah, like Cougar Stadium.
And it sounded like a toilet flushing. I'm like, y'all need to fix that, and it's just because that's really bad.
But it wasn't necessarily about the sound, the sound effect itself, as much as it was just about, you know, these cruddy in stadium speaker systems.
Yeah, so bad.
So right. The lion roar was to a toilet flush.
Like the toilet flush.
That sounds about right for you, that franchise.
Yeah. It's like, what is this place?
All right. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Got our 2-minute drill around the corner. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.